Welcome to the all-new Technician Academy podcast, brought to you by Extend Performance, hosted by ASE Master Technician Richard Young.
So welcome to today's Technician Academy podcast. Today we have Matthew Shanahan with College of DuPage, Glen Ellyn, Illinois. Matt, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Richard.
We're going to talk today with Matt about training. Like I said, he is with the College of DuPage. He's an instructor with them. Matt currently holds 19 ASE certifications. He's master certified in automobile, medium and heavy truck. And he's also an L1 and L2 certification. Matt, how are things today in DuPage?
Doing good. I just got done with classes this summer and looking forward to the fall semester starting up again here. So
that sounds great. How many students did you have this summer?
Well, this summer what I was teaching was our service learning class. So I had 8 students. And what we do is for 2 months we basically run a shop. The students punch in like a job on a time clock, and we work on live vehicles for 2 months. So it's kind of try to pull all the stuff they learned in the program together and apply it to the real world. A fun class to teach, and the students really enjoy applying everything that they've learned.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's, being able to give the student a real-world, hands-on type of experience before they actually get out in the real world. And I'm sure and assume that some of them are already out in different positions in the industry, but being able to have that foundation is a great thing for the students.
Yeah, when they're working in the industry, right out of school, they're not in very advanced roles typically, so this allows them to do jobs that they often wouldn't do in a shop. So for instance, things like timing chains or timing belts, deeper engine work, and a lot more heavier line work and stuff that they're not going to do as an entry level technician. So it's a safer learning environment to do something like that, rather than in a shop where customer needs a vehicle at the end of the day. So it's a lot better of a learning environment for something like that.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. And wow, I mean, being able to get a student that's went through the program, and he knows, through his education through there at the college, he knows how a timing belt goes together or timing chain. But getting that hands-on before it's actually the pressure of this is really a car, a customer that has to be repaired and fixed. Yeah, that's a great asset that you guys offer. I also see, you're currently pursuing an MBA, Management and Social Media Internet Marketing. What made you choose to do that? I mean, you've got your associate's degree there at Automotive Service Technology, College of DuPage, and then your bachelor's in automotive technology with Southern Illinois University. But what made you choose to go on to pursue a master's?
Well, when I first started at the college full-time a few years ago, I kind of realized that there was definitely a missing link where we needed to have more service management and service advisor training, because we typically focus just on the technology side of it. So we recently just developed a bunch of new curriculum where we're going to have a service management certificate, so the students will do service advising and service management classes. So to just kind of be better prepared to teach those classes, I decided to go ahead and pursue an MBA. And looking at the different concentrations, management was one that I picked. But then I thought social media and internet marketing would be another good one, because typically shops, in terms of marketing, they're not going to be, running commercial ads on TV or anything like that. Really, their greatest asset is to try to have a good internet site, to do some social media marketing. So I kind of wanted to focus in on that and see how else I could help the community shop marketing. So just an interesting topic. It's relatively new. Obviously, social media marketing is in its infancy right now. So just trying to advance the community, I guess, trying to learn all those different systems.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. And, it's interesting that you say that about manager position. I was just talking to a gentleman a couple of days ago, and he's actually a director of one of the associations. We got on that discussion of how important a manager and the service manager, the shop advisor or shop service advisor, how important those positions are. Because, we can send some great technicians out there in the industry through training, like you have there at DuPage. But if you have the greatest technicians in the Bay and you don't have someone on the front end to deal with the customer and be able to explain to the customer and get the customer to understand, really those guys in the Bay's time's wasted.
Yeah. And what we often find, too, I think, is that many technicians, as they age, they want to make the transition from the shop into the office. You know, the best technicians in the world doesn't mean they're going to be great as service advisors. So being able to offer working technicians some of those necessary customer service and management skills is kind of important as well, because, you know, some people are really great techs, but they need just a little bit of training to become better at customer service and managing employees.
Yeah, having made that transition myself at a OE dealership, that's a pretty tough transition to make. As technicians, we're kind of programmed to, as a majority, are programmed to get a repair bill, talk to the customer maybe briefly about their complaint, but mainly work off the RO, repair order, and fix the car. But then when you add that second thing in there of having to deal with the customer and actually getting that customer to approve the repairs, they really need some management type personnel skills. And yeah, I mean, that's a great way to provide that. I know that there are some other colleges around that are providing that type of training, and most of them are certificate level. So, you know, that's a great thing. Would a say you mentioned an older technician in the industry currently, would he be able to come back to DuPage and actually gain that certification?
Yes. Yeah, so the classes are all going to run at night, actually like an accelerated hybrid format. So the classes would be running from like 6:30 until 9:30, which allows someone to fit in a full day of work and then kind of go afterwards. And we kind of made it so it's just the most important stuff. It's really not a long stretch-out certificate, and a working technician should be able to get that certificate within a year. So an entry-level person with no background, we're going to make them take some of the technical classes as well. But a working technician, we can give demonstrated competency for the technical classes, and then all they would have to take is a service advisor class, a service management class, and then they can choose to take either a management, like a generic management class, or a entrepreneur class. So they can kind of pick if they're going to want to be a shop owner or manage someone else's shop. They can kind of pick a path. So.
Yeah, and you talk about that, manage someone's shop or manage their own. And that's where, you know, you talked about marketing and media. You know, a lot of your shops and you know, we know the 80-20 rule where, and that's kind of an industry thing, where 20% of the shops out there do a really good job at being advertising themselves, promoting their shop, and then there's that 80% that are mediocre at it. So being able to give that insight to your students, that's a huge asset.
And we do also find through the program that some students just aren't really, don't really want to be technicians after they kind of get a grasp on things. So, for instance, one of my students that took the class I taught this summer, the hands-on class, he decided after this class that, you know, he really likes the technical aspects of the cars, but fixing them just isn't for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the path that he wants to take now is to become a service advisor. So that was another reason to have that kind of program in place, was to kind of have something for the people that just aren't really good with their hands, but they like the industry, or they just don't want to be working on cars. They kind of want to just be around the cars. So it gives the students an extra option as well.
Absolutely. And you're right. I mean, not everybody that comes through your classes, your automotive technology classes, is going to want to be a technician. I mean, it can be a tough job. There's times of it that you wonder why you're doing it, but then when you repair that car that's been to three other shops, it really makes it worth it to me. And I know, Matt, we met, I don't know, two and a half years ago, roughly, and it was at a training event.
Yeah,
that we met
Cincinnati at the KOI event.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, since then I've really learned that, you know, and watched some of the things that you've done? Being in the industry, I've seen promotions where you're training, putting on some training classes for today's technicians also. So, you know, that's one of the things that I think is sadly overlooked in the industry is actual training for today's technicians also. So, you know, we got a couple, I got a few questions I want to ask you. And the reason why I wanted you on the podcast is your ability to see, you know, you've dealt with today's technicians in the training aspects, you've dealt with tomorrow's technicians, and then this other aspect of being in the, you know, training managers, advisors. So, you know, one of the things that the industry sees and they try to figure out is what value does a trained technician bring to the industry?
Well, I think a trained technician has a few different values. Some of them are more overlooked than others. I think the obvious thing about it, having a trained technician is that they know some of the newer systems. So maybe you send a technician to go get training on hybrids, and now you can work on hybrids where maybe you didn't before. But what is often overlooked as well is getting more efficient technicians. So, you know, often when you go to training, you're not always learning about new systems. You're learning about more efficient ways to test those systems. So now something that used to take 3 hours can take maybe 15 minutes with a better way. So really learning industry best practices and more efficient ways as well is one of the more overlooked things, I think. So not only are you learning new systems, but again, I think more efficient or more effective ways to repair cars in the bay, where I think people kind of overlook that aspect.
Right. And, you know, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, being a flat rate technician my entire life, and I still look at today's task, whatever they are, as a flat rate technician. And in that situation, the quicker we can make the job and solve the problem, the better it is for us at the end of the week. Really, the only way I found was to educate myself and to learn the new ways and best practice to do it, to effectively repair or replace a component. So, yeah, training is extremely important. I think I've seen a study from the Automotive Training Managers Council recently where they actually assessed the value of a trained technician or certified technician in comparison to a non-certified or non-trained technician. And it was in the hundreds, you know, in the tens of thousands of dollars at the end of the year. And what figures into that is returns and no comebacks by
Absolutely.
Doing the job right.
One thing I also forgot is I think technician accuracy is something that's going to increase as well. So, for instance, one of the timing changes that we did over the summer, we knew definitively going in before we tore apart that engine that the timing chains were off using modern diagnostic techniques that a lot of technicians don't use. So, you know, I think in your average 80% shop, they might be tearing apart that engine on a guess, whereas with modern techniques, we were able to tear apart that engine and, you know, knew well that the timing chains were off. So I think accuracy, efficiency, and, of course, knowing the systems are all things that are the value that training brings to shop.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I continue to hear about the industry and as a technician myself, and I've heard this for, you know, off and on for the last 5 to 6 years, but the technician shortage. You know, there's going to be a shortage of technicians, or there is a shortage of technicians. What's your feel on that, Matt?
I think currently there's more so a shortage of actual trained technicians. I don't think there's a shortage of technicians per se. I think the shortage is really of people who know what they're doing. In the future, I am starting to worry about having more of a shortage because as more people exit the industry, I don't think as many are coming in. And I think there's some bigger issues that are causing that. You know, we're competing with a lot of other trades in terms of bringing in high school graduates to, you know, when they're deciding on careers. We're competing with a lot of other trades that may be more appealing at this point. So right now I think the shortage, again, is with trained technicians. It's not so much a technician shortage, but I do worry about the future.
Yeah, I seen a study here just recently that nearly 40% of the technicians out there working in the field right now are 45 years and older. So, yeah, that attrition that's coming in 5 to 10 years is a definite concern. And that's where in facilities like yours at DuPage, being able to educate tomorrow's technicians and send them, being able to release them out into the industry is maybe not necessarily tech A's, but, you know, they're going out there as a tech C with some knowledge. And then, you know, the summer program you talked about, they're going to have some actual hands-on relations. So, yeah, it's definitely can lead to that, reducing that technician shortage. So other than the young techs that you're sending out, and, you know, like I said, nearly 40% of the technicians out there are going to be retiring in 10 to 12 years. What else do you think that the industry can do to help solve that problem?
Well, I think it's something that I've been pretty vocal about on IHN and some other discussions, but I do believe that the industry really needs to change the way it pays technicians. It needs to change some of the working conditions as well. So I really think in order to attract the best technicians of tomorrow, I mean, if you're looking at millennials, and now we're starting to see the next generation coming and beyond them, I really think if you want to attract young workers now, you're going to have to kind of change the way that the pay is done in our industry. And that doesn't always necessarily mean higher pay. It just means that maybe better ways of paying the techs, better working environments, you know, how many shops out there, you know, don't have health benefits, things like that is really what we're going to have to change because, as I said earlier, we're competing with other trades, and all those trades offer much better compensation, much better benefits, and oftentimes a better working environment. So those are things that we need to consider looking forward, where a student might decide to pick a different, if they're going to pick a trade, they might pick something other than automotive repair because something might pay twice as much as what, you know, it's not a small difference. It could be a large difference trade to trade. So,
yeah, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. The conditions, yes, definitely. And the way benefits are provided, you know, and that's a big thing. And that's what the industry right now, in my opinion, is competing against, where, you know, you can take a student who's trying to decide, coming out of high school, trying to decide which direction they're going to go. And they look, let's just use the medical field, for instance. You know, there's a lot of occupations that they can go to school for in a two-year community college in the medical field and a lot cleaner working environment for more pay than what tomorrow's technicians are leaving your facility and getting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if their passion is automotive, but yet they see that, you know, they may leave there with the idea of, hey, I'll go out and make some really good money and I'll just work on my own vehicle or the neighbor's vehicles. And so, yeah, that's definitely a thing. Funny you mentioned that. I was talking to a community college instructor here last week. He was talking about students who left his program. They were actually going through an OE program within his college. And when those future techs left the college and went to the OE dealerships, the dealerships were putting them on the lube rack at just above minimum wage. And, you know, then future technicians look at that and say, you know, this is, we're out in the hot, we're, you know, we're working, and the lube rack can be very, very, very fast-paced. And, you know, even though they had spent the time in that OE dealership program, they were leaving it because the pay wasn't there. So, yeah, you know, and it takes them, even on a lube rack, they're going to spend a couple thousand dollars to have a set of tools in the toolbox. So, yeah, there's some definitely
a little minimum wage.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that's definitely one thing. But
yeah, anytime someone goes to college, the idea is to better themselves. So when you go through school and then all of a sudden you're worse off than you were before, it doesn't make any sense. And that's why people often run away from the industry. So I see a lot of great students. I see them a year or two later, they're doing something totally unrelated to the automotive field. They might be retraining or they found another job somewhere else that pays them better. So, you know, it's unfortunate,
yeah.
But that's just kind of one of the things we start to see.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate. And it's unfortunate for the entire industry. It's not just unfortunate for an area, but that affects the entire industry. So, in your opinion, do you see anything that a distributor, such as, you know, a parts store or retailer or a manufacturer could do to help solve these issues of losing tomorrow's technicians?
I think it's important to continue offering. A lot of these manufacturers do offer training. I think it's important for manufacturers to offer training, but what I'd like to say there is I think it's important for them to offer unbiased training, and that's what I see it happen too often is a lot of manufacturers turn the training opportunity into like a sales pitch, and I think that that's only going to discourage people from going to training, not encourage them. So I think that, you know, manufacturers definitely should offer training to the industry. However, there's just a few manufacturers really doing it right, in my opinion, right now, and a lot of them are kind of not doing so good. And I think there's also where I see a really big shortage is good trainers, and that's one issue I see is a lot of trainers may not be the best fit for that position as well. So I go to a lot of training every year. Last year I went to 140 hours of training, so I've seen everything, the good, bad, and the ugly. And I think that it's important for manufacturers to really just focus on the quality of the training. I will say that there's a few different parts manufacturers that I use regularly, and it's not so much because I got sold on a sales pitch at a training event. You know, I just regularly attend their training, and I know that they have good product support. So just having good training in place, good support, you know, the people are going to come eventually. You don't have to try to directly sell them on your product, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been in the industry as long as I have, and I've trained, you know, I attend to whatever, you know, training events as I can. That, you know, used to we, a training event, and I'm talking, I'm going to show my age here a little bit, but, you know, 20, 25 years ago, if it was just a manufacturer's training event, you could figure that you would get 40 minutes of actual training, and then the other hour, 10 minutes, was devoted to how good the product was. And that was definitely a turnoff, and it really, it's a waste of time for the technician. I mean, the technician's been in the bay all day. It's been hot. That's one of the things that it's just you don't want to waste their time. And when you do, you not only affect them, but you affect the manufacturer. They've done lost interest. They really aren't interested in buying that product at that point. So, yeah, manufacturers need to understand that training is training. And, you know, just out of respect, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but just out of respect, that technician is going to look at that product. If they receive good training, they're going to look at that product at purchasing it in the future.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, just that they say, oh, that class was real good, and I learned a lot. They feel, I think, just having that, they feel like the product is well-supported. Even if the training is unrelated, there's a couple of manufacturers out there doing a lot of training totally unrelated to the parts that they sell. But they're just trying to, you know, train the technicians out there. And they figure, hey, if I train the techs, you know, they're going to respect me and purchase my products as a result. And I think really that's the correct approach. You mentioned training after work, and I think that's one thing I'd like to just mention. I think that's something that's generally practiced in our industry, which I think is kind of the incorrect way to do it. As a trainer, I think it's really the best learning environment is really to just take a day off of work and do that. I think that many shop owners are they don't look at the big picture on that. They say, oh, I can't lose my tech for a day and lose those, lose, you know, whatever he would do that day. I think that's kind of incorrect. I think they can't afford to not send those techs to training during the day. You know, there's a lot of around in this area, there's a couple of places that would offer, you know, all-day classes during the week, and they're struggling to fill those classes because of just the mentality of the go-go, you know, that go-go-go mentality in our industry.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that's often overlooked, and I think that's something that would need to, you know, if that were to change, these shop owners might realize how beneficial it is to send these techs to training a few days a year. Every other industry does this. You know, I'll let you look at a lot of things like you bring up medical. It's very common for, you know, these medical professionals to take a couple days a year off of work to retrain. So,
Yeah.
Even your doctor going to a seminar at 6:30 to 10, you know. So.
No, not after he's been working all day long. Or,
no.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. That's something that I have always believed in the industry. You know, I've seen a quote where, you know, what if I train my technician and they leave? You know, I give training to my technicians and they leave. Well, my question to that is, what if you don't train them and they stay?
Absolutely.
You know, first off, customer satisfaction. And when I talk about customer, I'm talking about the actual end user, the end vehicle owner. You know, if that training technician works on that vehicle, there's a lot less chance of it coming back as opposed to an untrained technician. So, as a shop owner, being a previous shop owner myself, definitely I think it's one day. Send the technician or 2 days, whatever it is. And that should be, going back to a few discussions ago, that should almost be one of the benefits, in my opinion, that shops should offer today's and tomorrow's technicians.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that when a shop owner makes an investment to train a tech, it pays them back, you know, almost immediately because of all the things we talked about in the beginning that it has to offer. So.
Yeah, and, you know, it's extremely important for those technicians to be trained and feel confident in what they're doing. I know when I was in the industry and actually in the Bay every day, when I would go get some training, I would be searching out whatever the training was, whether it be on transmissions or ignition or whatever. I would be searching out those jobs for the next 2 or 3 months to because I was confident, you know, and build confidence in what I was doing. Absolutely. Now, we hear about connected car. We talk about telematics. What are some of the categories that the future technicians should be focusing on?
I really think that future techs need to focus on just really having good electrical skills. And you always see this debate over time, whether or not a tech should attend, you know, college, like a formal training. And I've seen both types of technicians that have had formal training and technicians that haven't. And I think that the technicians that have a good foundation of electrical skills can adapt much better to changes in technology. As they attend training classes in the future, they're going to be more likely to learn that material and retain it. So I really think that tomorrow's technicians really need to focus on building a really good foundation of electrical skills. And I think that they'll be able to adapt to whatever the future may hold, because 30 years from now, who knows, it might be hover cars they're working on or something, right? So you never know. But one thing that we could say for sure is electricity is going to be a big part of it. Electricity and electronics is going to be a big part of it. So,
oh, yeah.
I think that.
Absolutely. Digital and electronics, having a good basis of that definitely is an asset for any technician. Absolutely. And we've kind of talked about this, you know, especially before the call, I wasn't aware that DuPage had the manager's certificate. And I really commend you guys on that. That's definitely a step in the right direction, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what does a technician, they go through the school, they spend 2 years there at your facility. You know, what do you see a lot of those technicians, you talked about seeing them later on, if they stay in the industry, are they staying technicians? Are they becoming, you know, in the parts department? Are they moving into service manager? Where do you see them going?
Yeah. Some of our better students, we probably have at least 5 or 6 every year out of our graduates attend a 4-year university, most commonly Southern Illinois.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of our best technicians often end up getting a bachelor's degree, and they're not going to be in technician roles. They'd be more in roles like for a manufacturer. So they might be doing training in a manufacturer or some type of field engineering, things like that. And then a lot of our other students get end up getting recruited to dealerships. I like to see them. I'm an independent shop guy. You know, I think that's really where they get challenged both intellectually, but a lot of them end up in dealerships. So we see a lot of independent shops in the area always, you know, wanting tech, but they just can't compete financially with the dealerships. So kind of the issues that we talked about earlier with benefits, working conditions, things like that, the dealerships are kind of offering much more competitive wages. The working environment might be better, and that they have, you know, more benefits as well. So a lot of our students end up going to dealerships, and unfortunately, I think they get used and abused there, and I think after a few years, they kind of exit the industry after that, and they bring in a new batch. So it's kind of like the around our area, at least that's the mentality I've seen at dealerships is some of the mentality if you look at dealership training as well. So they're just an employee that you use up until you find a new one. So
yeah, and regretfully, I agree with that. I have some friends that work over in the St. Louis area in the automotive technology education fields. They see a lot of recruiting going on by some of the bigger dealerships of their students.
Absolutely.
That are actually paying retainers to get them, bonuses to get them in there. So, you know, we kind of talked about that, but do you see anything where the independent repair facilities or maybe the franchise repair facilities are recruiting and trying to get future technicians in there and build their own technician?
Yeah, the franchises are doing similar things too. So, I mean, I think a mom and pop independent shop is at a disadvantage when it comes to recruiting technicians because these, the chain stores and the dealerships, they do have aggressive recruiting. I think long term, they don't pay as much as a good independent shop might pay and doesn't have the same type of environment. But for a starting out tech, they're much more competitive, and that's where we see a lot of technicians wind up. So, and then a lot also, too, if you think about maybe a 3 or 4 person, 6 bay independent shop versus a 14 to 16 bay chain store or 30 bay dealership, the larger stores are more likely to be able to take in a tech at entry level and give them more work. It may unfortunately be like a lot of the Lubric type stuff, but it's much more difficult for an independent shop to kind of grow their own tech, although I think that we could probably say that that's probably the best route for an independent shop. It's just more financially difficult for them, I believe.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of shops that will take that graduate and, they'll bring them into the facility. And, the independent shop's a lot more likely to try to build a technician, help that student become the A tech. But they start out a lot lower pay and it takes a little bit longer for them to get up there in pay. So I'm sure, I've been to your facility. It's an immaculate facility. Enjoyed being there. I'm going to be there later in the fall this year. When you get a top-level student and they graduate at the top of the class and they leave their facility, you leave your facility, and you guys do a great job, and we've kind of alluded to this before, but are they ready to be a lead tech?
No, and that's one expectation that a lot of employers have, but I'm always very adamant about telling employers that they're ready to be at an entry-level position. Now, one thing that I will say is life techs have had a lot of electrical and drivability type training. So, I mean, unfortunately, the old entry level will make them do great jobs and oil changes all day. In reality, these techs might be ready to start doing some entry level diagnostics as well. And that actually, I think, might help them stay in the industry because looking at a lot of my students, that's what they enjoy the most. They don't, they're not crazy about, they don't get excited about doing brake jobs and ball joints. They get excited about doing diagnostic and electrical work. That's really what this generation is, that was raised on computers. They really like working with the computers and the electrical stuff, a lot of them. So that's an opportunity they're often not granted out of school. But then also we have that false expectation, like this is a journeyman mechanic, and that's not the case. So, I always tell the students, and I, you know, unfortunately employers aren't this patient. I always tell them in my service learning class, do everything right. Speed comes with time. You can't force speed. Once you start forcing speed, you start making mistakes. So if you start trying to do a brake job real fast, you're gonna forget something, you're gonna break something. The speed is gonna come after you've done a couple hundred of them. You're gonna start to learn, you know, you're gonna start to be more proficient and learn tricks over time. So the shops that hire my tech, they just need a little more patience on the speed aspect. These techs will, you know, they're good at using service information and doing the procedure right. They just need time. They can't be pressured.
I will attest. I mean, having had the been fortunate to have been in several community colleges over the last couple years doing training, and today's students, they like electronics. And you can tell it. They, when you start talking about diagnosing an electrical circuit, and I know it's your facility, you're very good at teaching them the basics of electronics and then building on that to create a student that is very well versed in electronics. And you know, the last time I was there, some of your students, they would pose a question that I had to think about for a little bit. And they were all good questions, And I really enjoyed that. So, you know, you get maybe not your top-level students, and I think we've kind of hit on this again, but I really want those listening to hear this. You get your mid-level students, the student that's going to be a good tech in a general repair shop. But what when they graduate, what do you think, and like I said, we've hit on it, but I want to reiterate it, what do you think keeps them from staying in the industry?
I think just having a not a very good opportunity to really learn the trade. Really what they need, what those kind of students need is probably a good tech to work with them. Like maybe they help out that tech for a few months, and then that tech allows them to start doing jobs on their own. But that tech's never going to learn or excel just by doing oil changes all day. So that's often what times ends up happening to a tech like that. They try to throw them into a job on their own, and it goes bad real quick. If they just keep that person at oil change, but in reality, that person probably needs to pair up with someone and learn the trade. It's just going to take a little bit longer, but they could be just as successful. I'm a firm believer that anyone that comes in can be, you know, successful in my program. It's just some people just learn differently than others, so sometimes it just takes more time and or different types of attention. So I do a good job of, you know, catering to that. So
yeah, and I know for me, I mean, I can read it, and I can comprehend it, but it sure helps for me to put my hands on it and do it. And, you know, you talk about, and I'll call it mentorship, having that older tech. You know, those, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the age of today's technicians, and, you know, having those older techs in the shop to kind of mentor along a young tech really would help the industry build a workforce that is far superior than what we have now.
Absolutely.
That mentorship is, there's just no, it's just unmeasurable the value that can create for a shop. And also, and I think, and I've spoke on this several times, but, you know, that customer, that car vehicle owner knows who's working on their vehicle. And, you know, they've had, let's just use, say, Bob. Bob's worked on my vehicle for 20 years. Bob's getting ready to retire. Now, who's taking his place? There's a certain amount of apprehension then by the car owner. But if they see a young tech that's working alongside Bob, that keeps that car owner coming back to that shop. That creates that generational, you know, it jumps the generational gap and gives that customer, that car owner, some assurance of what's going to happen to their vehicle.
Absolutely.
So we've talked about training. I think it's mutually agreed that both of us think that education and training is extremely important in this industry, whether it be at the community college level or even at the 4-year university. You know, I've been down to SIU. They do an excellent program. They got a newer facility now. It's really, really a modern facility. They do a great job. But where do you see the future of this industry going? What, I mean, we talked about autonomous cars. connected cars, telematics. Where do you see the future of this industry going?
I think that the technology is advancing much faster than we are adapting. And I, in this area, and I'm starting to see, starting to develop other areas, what's really starting to happen is starting to have mobile technicians do a lot of diagnostics and programming. And we're starting to see shops split apart operations. So maybe a shop with five people in it has one person that specializes in diagnostics and electrical work, and the other one kind of do parts changing. I really think, I don't think that's the best business model. I think that the way that the technology is going, that everyone in the shop should have a good technological background. However, I think out of necessity, many shops are kind of adapting this separation where you kind of have your higher-up techs, you got your parts changers, your lube rack people, and then to supplement all that, a lot of shops don't even have that good diag tech that are really relying in this area on mobile technicians, which, you know, maybe 5 years ago there were just a handful of mobile techs in this area, in the Chicagoland area, and now there is, you know, it's just exploded. It's, you know, tripled in size of these companies. So as programming or, you have to configure a module or program it or whatever, it becomes more and more common. These guys are filling that gap. So I think, you know, the technology is changing faster than we're adapting, so we're kind of just keeping our head above water at this point to adapt with the changes. So
you mentioned technology changes. Throw a little question in here, and I'm interested in your opinion on it. Autonomous vehicles. You know, they talk about implementing them. You know, some manufacturers are talking about, I think Volvo, I believe, was they'll have a vehicle that will be wreck-free by 2020. Where do you see that technology going?
I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's a matter of when at this point, and I think there's been multiple manufacturers now trying to compete the 2020 mark. And I really think that right now, the most of the sensors are on a lot of these cars with accident mitigation. What's really going to change is the software. So I think that as these manufacturers develop better software and the infrastructure of the nation, possibly it might have to increase a little bit with better, you know, streets or maps or whatever. But I really do think it's going to be here. I think it's... there's going to be a lot of people that are going to resist it initially because a lot of people don't like changes in technology, you know, consumers. But I know I always tell my students all the time, I'm going to be one of the first people in line to buy one when that technology is good because I'll get an extra hour of sleep in the morning and I get to leave work an hour early and work on the way home. So,
yeah, that would be a definite advantage, that commute drive. And then especially up there where you're at, you know, I don't – have that problem as bad down here, but you know, in your area, the traffic can be nightmarish. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, and it's not if, it is when. I think the industry is moving and taking great strides towards that. One of the things that's going to hold it back, in my opinion, is the infrastructure of the nation. You know, road conditions and just navigation of the roads. So, Matt, we've talked here for quite some time, and I appreciate it. Can't express how much I appreciate it. One of the things, like we said, I mean, the industry needs to look at education and training. It's extremely important. And I appreciate your wisdom on that, you know, your ability to see training events. And, you know, you talked about how many hours you've been in training last year. It was nearly a month's worth of hours, considering a 5-day work week. So I commend you on that, and I commend you not only for yourself, but what value that brings to your students. You know, having that ability to transfer that knowledge to them. So as we get out of here, and like I said, I appreciate your time, but I would like to get one more thing from you, and that's just your closing thoughts. What ideas do you have, and what things do you want to see happen?
Personally. Well, I had a training class myself on Tuesday, and talking to the trainer, he's a big trainer in the nation, and just kind of talking about the industry, and you really do have to be very passionate about repairing cars to want to stay in this industry right now. And we obviously have a lot of passionate people because we, like we kind of discussed earlier, there's not a huge technician shortage. It's the training gap that's there. So I think if our industry could put a higher level of stress on the importance of education and the importance of training, we would really start to advance forward because we have a lot of passionate individuals in the industry, and we just need to give them the opportunity to excel. So the people are there. I think we just need to put the systems in place to make it happen. So what I'd like to see, obviously, I'm kind of biased because I'm at the college there, but I'd like to see more of a importance put on college degrees by shops, because I can't tell you how many really good students I've had. They're working in a shop, and the employer doesn't want to work around their school schedule, so they end up dropping out of school and not finishing and just working in a shop. When, long-term, it probably would have been much better for them to complete their schooling and learn a lot more about the automotive industry and other things like English, speech, things like that that would help them work with customers and stuff in the future. So I see that as important. And then I also think that, employers putting a higher stress on training would be good too. But I have no regrets entering the industry. I know if you read my IATM post and hear this conversation, you might think I'm negative about it, but I'm just so passionate myself that I want to see a change. So I want to get all the issues out there, and hopefully people start to listen and change.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why, I am passionate myself about this industry, and that's the reasons for us starting the Technician Academy and, the podcast, and just getting out of the industry and providing that training. Unbiased training, as you had, to steal the word you had earlier. Unbiased.
I think that's how we ended up meeting, because I wanted to come up to after that class and thank you, one of the classes you were teaching, because it was one of the few unbiased classes I saw that weekend. So,
well, if you remember, I usually start a training class by telling all the attendees if you're there to listen to how good the product is, and for me to sell you the product, then you need to go ahead and leave, because I will not do that. So yeah, that's one of the things that I'm very staunch on and believe that it shouldn't happen. So yeah, Matt, as always, I enjoy discussion with you. Look forward to coming up there. I believe in November, we're going to be up there and put some training on for you.
I think it's important to, I always try to expose students to training during their program. So earlier this year, I got a grant, and I put on four training classes at the college for the community and my students. And I always try to get some training events for my students as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wholeheartedly can't wait to be there. Like I said, I enjoy your facility, enjoy your students, and I look forward to it. Again, I thank you.
No problem. Yeah, it was a great conversation, and I hope people listen in and try to make some changes based off of this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, thank you, Matt, and we'll be talking in the future.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Technician Academy podcast, brought to you by Extend Performance. Don't forget to visit us online at technician.academy. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Technician.academy, built to educate.